We're going to start a series on healing today, and we'll just take as long as it takes us. Certainly not going to be done today. So we're just going to spend several sessions covering different areas. But where I wanted to start today is that sin is the original cause of sickness. And if we know that, then a lot of other things make sense and things fall in line in what the Word says. But let's go ahead, and we're just going to read through some scriptures and see how far we get today. Genesis 3, 1. We'll start there. So Genesis 3, 1 says this: "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God not indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." And so right there at the beginning is where Adam chose to listen to Satan instead of listening to God. And at that point, the sin entered the earth, and when sin entered the earth, sickness entered with it. Before this point, God did not create man to die. He didn't create his physical body to die. It took Adam 900 and some odd years to die. You know, we're not getting older. We're not getting to the place where people are living longer now. We're coming back, but we're a far cry from where we started. You know, what man started. And this is an interesting point. You know, the Bible says that sickness entered through sin. That's what the Bible says. So if there were... No, never mind, I'm not going to go there. So anyhow, sickness started when sin entered the world. Let's turn to Romans 5:12. This refers to the same scriptures in Genesis. Romans 5:12. All right, it says there, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world," through Adam, "the death and death through one sin." There wasn't death. The spiritual death happened at that point. Physical death just followed. "And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many." Actually, right now, let's just skip down to 17. We'll come back to those. "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Verse 18, "Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by man's obedience many will be made righteous." So Satan influenced Adam to sin, and through Adam, sin spread to all mankind. And so then when death entered the world, when sin entered the world, sickness followed. So we'll read a couple more scriptures here. And then, you know, you see back in Genesis, there wasn't until that point. Of course, it was right at the beginning after man was created, but we weren't created to have sickness. That entered at the point that there was sin. So if you turn to Exodus 23, now let's start in Exodus 15:26. So in 15:26, it says this: if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, it's saying here, if he's giving this command to the Israelites, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, this is old covenant, but this is the covenant that God set in place at the beginning. But the part I want you to notice right here is that sin or doing righteous acts is associated with sickness. If you do what's under the law, if you do what the commandments are, then you won't have sickness. That's my point at this point, because we're saying that sin, when sin entered, sickness entered. And so let's read Exodus 23:25, just a few chapters back. It says the same thing. Exodus 23:25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you, because you're serving God. Let's go to Acts 10:38. I know I'm throwing a lot of scriptures at you right now, but we're just going to skip through and see where the Bible is saying that sickness is a result of sin. If we establish that, we move to it makes everything a lot more clear. Acts 10:38, it says this: how God anointed, now you can back up, this is, or go to 36, the word of God, which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed through all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of which John preached. And this is the word that was preached: how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Who were oppressed by the devil. Sickness or sin came into the world because of the devil. The devil is the original author. Sin just comes from the devil. The devil came in to try to mess man up, to try to separate him from God. And so he came in. He's the author, the original author of sickness. He came in, caused man to sin, knowing full well if man sinned, he's bowed his knee to Satan. And if he's bowed his knee to Satan, everything's degenerated because we've gone down the path of sin and let these things into our lives, so that mankind has to deal with all this stuff that God never intended him to have to deal with. So the people, you could say, so how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. See, whether the devil's the one that causes people to sin. You don't just go out and sin by yourself. I mean, he's the one that brought it into the world. He's the one that brought the ideas in the world. So even if you're looking at somebody else, the original author is Satan, so that he can enslave mankind. If you go out and do the things that that Satan would have you do, then you are putting yourself under him, and the results that come from being following the enemy, the one that's wanting to warp what God has created. So let's go to Luke 13. We're just reading several examples here, just so we can establish this fact. Luke 13:10. All right, Luke 13:10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent up over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, Think of it, for 18 years he loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. So Jesus is saying, look, it's Satan, it's the devil, he is the author of sickness. He's the one that was the father of it, that brought it in. Through sin originally, if Adam had never sinned, Satan would have no place in mankind, unless somebody else sinned, whatever. But he was the original, he was the one that bowed his knee to Satan and has passed that down to every human being that has been alive. But Satan is the author of sickness, and he's the one in this case that was had this woman bound. Let's turn just a few chapters back to Luke 4. Luke 4:18. It says there, the Spirit of the Lord, this is Jesus quoting Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He said he is to proclaim liberty to the captives. Who are we captive of? Who people have bowed their knee to Satan, and without Jesus coming, they are bound to Satan in every area, and part of that is sickness. That comes with the package. If you're going to go be under Satan, part of that package is sickness and disease that comes in it through sin. So Jesus came, though, to set us free from that, which we'll get to. Yeah, let's just read this. John, while we're in the New Testament, John 5. John 5:2 says this. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise up. Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. He said, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you." That, why? Because you go after the devil and go after and start yielding to him, you're yielding yourself to him. We want to stay away from that. But there is a connection between sin and sickness. First of all, sin was the original cause of all sickness, because that was the devil that brought it in. And then Jesus says right here, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." So let's turn back to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. I know I'm going through these scriptures fast, but I mean, we're just going through, just making a case here. And there are other scriptures. This is not exhaustive. Deuteronomy 28:15. So, if you want to turn back to, if you're not familiar with this verse, let's go back to 28:1. And we're not going to read all this part, but, so all these commandments have been laid out. The law has been laid out. And here it's talking about the blessings of obedience and then the curses that come on because of disobedience. And in verse 1 it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I commanded on you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Maybe we'll just read this. See, people, this whole part, not people, there is an understanding sometimes that God somehow doesn't want us blessed, that God doesn't want us to be prosperous, that God doesn't necessarily want us to be healed. I mean, you can't not believe that if you go back and read the Old Testament. It flat out says it right here. And if you go back earlier in Deuteronomy, hold on, we'll just read some of this stuff. Go back to, Deuteronomy 6. This is on our subject, but we'll just throw this in anyway. So Deuteronomy 6 chapter 6 verse 1, it says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments with which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage." But he says right there, and he says later, just go over to verse 8. I'm going to teach on this stuff another day, but I'm just throwing it in right now. Chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8. He's saying the same thing. Let's go to verse 10. He says, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day." You cannot read that and think that God does not want us to be well. He said, if you follow me, you're going to do well. You're going to have all this plenty and all these things. And it's the same thing with health. God is not around putting anything on anybody. It is totally his will for us to walk in health. It's totally his will for us to have everything we need. And that's what he's saying then in Deuteronomy 28, which let's go back there. He's saying, so now if you do all these things, if you do what I've told you to do, here's what's going to happen. And he says in verse 2, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he's sworn to you. if you keep the commandments of the Lord and your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you above, or make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from the words which I command you this day to the right or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And so this is where we are going to go then. He says, okay, you don't do that. You decide you don't want to. You want to go in the opposite direction, which is sin. I mean, it's basically saying, I don't want to do what God does wants. I want to go in my own direction from the beginning. That's what Eve did. God told her one thing, Adam one thing. They went over here. So he's saying, look, here's the consequences of sin. And so there's some verses in here. In 15, he says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and shall overtake you. And he goes on, verse 22, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning, with the sword, with scorching, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And he goes on in verse 27, if you skip down there. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. In verse 35, the Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which you cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. And if that's not bad enough, verse 61, and also every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, but will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. That's the curse of the law. That's the if you don't do what is in the book of the law, this is the old covenant, then the consequences are going to come upon you. It started with Adam. And it's not that God said, you know, he didn't set up this crazy system to try to... He's not punishing people or anything. If we follow God, then we're doing how he set it out to be. He's our creator. He's the manufacturer. He said to put it to do things the way he has laid out. And if we follow him, then we get the consequences. Now I'm just talking about a foundation here, that from the beginning Satan came in and he tried to corrupt man. Tried to pull him away from us, pull us away from God, and to have sin reign in us. And a consequence of sin, then sickness came in, and like it says in Romans, that death reigned from that point on. So at this point, then, before Jesus, if we don't do everything right, the right way, then we have the consequences of sin all the time. And I mean, we have the consequences of sin, you know, pretty much. You don't want to mess with sin. We do not want to do what God has told us not to do. You know, if you're a parent, you tell your children to do something, there's a reason why. You know, when I was little, my mom tells me I was, you know, under a year old. She went out of the kitchen for a minute. I just didn't even occur to her that I was even capable of this. I pushed a chair over to the stove, got up on the stove or on the chair, turned on the burner, and put my hand right on the burner. And she was like, good night. You know, they're going to think I'm abusing my child when I'm not fit to be a parent. She just did not even think I was capable of that at that point. I guess I was a handful. But my point is, at that point, she probably didn't even tell me that. But I probably learned from that I should not do that. I should not put my hand on a burner. Well, I know I've told, it didn't happen too long ago to one of my children. I said, do not touch this. I was outside grilling. And we tried to keep... In a way, I turn my back for 2 seconds, a little girl goes up and just touches the side of the grill. Well, it wasn't, too bad, but it hurt. It was hot. Hot, hot, hot. You know, she said, hot, hot. Yeah, that's hot. You know, you burned your hand. Well, God has told us what to do and what not to do. My point is that there, because Satan came and introduced sin, sickness came after it. That is the root of all sickness. And so now today, and then God has laid out, we've read numerous scriptures that Satan, he is the one that's trying to oppress people through sickness, one way or another, however you cut it, either if it's through people getting themselves into things through sin, or it's flat out some kind of, it's a demonic thing, whatever, Satan's the author of it, period. God certainly is not the author of sickness. He is not the one from whom sickness flows. He's not the author of it. And we've read back in Deuteronomy where God clearly laid it out. These are the consequences for going against what I've told you to do. And we already read it, and I'll just read it again in Exodus. We've already turned there, so you don't have to turn back. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who put sickness on you. No, he didn't say that. He said, I am the Lord who heals you. That's my job. I'm the physician. That's literally what it says. I'm the Lord, your physician. And so in Exodus 23, we already read this, Exodus 23, 25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Period. That's a powerful verse right there. I mean, he said, I will bless your bread and water. You know, if you're ever praying before your meal, God said he would bless our bread and water, and he will take sickness away from the midst of us. Well, we're not going to probably get that far. My point today is to establish that sickness was a result of sin entering the world, and that I'm not saying that every time you sin, there's just sickness right around the corner. What I'm saying is the cause of sickness, the original root that had to be dealt with, was sin. Was Satan, number one, coming in, and then sin, because Adam bowed his knee to Satan, that entered the world. That is the root of sickness. And if we know what the root is, then we know how, if we can deal with the root, then we can, then we know that if we've dealt with the root, that we can deal with the symptoms. You know, have you ever had Roundup, Spectracide, or whatever? You know, you can keep pulling a weed out and it breaks and this root's still down there, or you can shoot it with something like Roundup. Man, that thing shrivels in 24 hours and it's gone. Because it goes down, it makes it grow too fast, and it just kills the whole thing. Bound to the root. It's gone. Well, that's what my point is. We can go and try to, you know, talk about certain scriptures, but if we don't get back to the root, if we don't know why, what we're dealing with, and if we know the answer, which is Jesus, which is what we're going to be talking about in the, you know, the next time. But, you know, the preview where we're going, and we just read it. Let's end here, but go back to Romans, which we... It basically sums this up. And this is where we'll go next time. Romans 12, go back to where we were. Oh wait, Romans 5, I'm sorry. Romans 5, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as one... Okay, we'll read this whole thing again. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. Death. Death. Sickness is death. Poverty is death. We just read that if we're following life, if we're following God, we just read in Deuteronomy that man, these, the Israelites, and we're no different, we're the seed of Abraham through Jesus, that if we'll follow him, he said we'll have plenty in every way. Sickness or poverty is a result of death. It's a result of not following God, whether that's purposeful or not. That, you know, somebody's beat down, they're poor, they come from a family that they've been beat down. They don't know they have never been introduced to God. They don't know, but their mannerisms, their behavior is following death. It's following, they've been beat down, they don't know any better maybe, but they're doing things that produce death, so they have poverty. Poverty is a symptom. It's not the root. Death is a root. What's the root of death? It's sin, and Satan is the ultimate root. So We said, it says that death through sin, therefore just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men in all its forms, all its symptoms, death, whether it's sickness, whether it's disease, whether it's poverty, whether it's relationship problems, whether it's all the junk in the world, death spread to all men because all sinned. You know, father sinned, passed it down. You know, he just passed down the behavior. The kid acts like the father. Unless he breaks that cycle, he's going to keep doing it. Not because he's forced to, just because that, you know, we tend to emulate our parents. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who is to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive, number one. I mean, you could go on these things. This is the gospel. This is one of the things the gospel dealt with. You could go on these things. It's just those who receive abundance, not earn it, receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You know, it says over here in Romans, just a second, Romans 3:21. Just skip back there. All right, I can read it. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. But anyway, that I'm saying that the righteousness that we receive, the righteousness of God, it's not to say that if we just be dunderheads and go after and do everything that God said not to do, that's just stupid. But there's a gift of righteousness that makes us righteous apart from our performance. And so, it made us righteous, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we broke up that verse 17, so I'm going to just read that again. For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance and of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life in every area, through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where the sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the preview is that Jesus came to deal with sin. When he dealt with sin and made us righteous, he has dealt with sickness. He's dealt with the root. If he's dealt with the root, then everything else is symptoms. We have to know that he's dealt with the root, regardless of what it looks like, or regardless of what things in our past might tell us. But if Jesus has dealt with the root, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I'm probably going to repeat some of this next week, but just to be so it's coherent, it's all one package. Sickness healing is not something off to the side of salvation. When God saved us, when God made us righteous, he took away sickness. He made us to the point that we don't have to deal with sickness if we know that came with the package. You know, if you go buy a car and there's a warranty, there's certain things that come with the package, but if you don't know they're there, you can't take advantage of them. But if you know they're there, and the whole anybody that's saved, all they have to do, you know, we receive Jesus as our Savior. We just have to receive him as our healer. Same thing. You can receive him as your healer at the point you receive him as your savior. You just have to say, you know what, from this point on, just like Jesus is my savior, he's my healer. If you know that you're saved, you get up every day and go, boy, I really blew it yesterday. I wonder if I'm saved today. Put it that way. Do you wonder? I mean, if you've been taught, if you know what the Word of God says, you know that it's Jesus' righteousness, not your own. You know that it hasn't affected your salvation, right? If you have blown it yesterday, and every one of us has in some degree or another, not that that's good, but we have, does that make the covenant that God's made through us through Jesus null and void? No, it hasn't. Well, guess what's part of the covenant? Healing. So if we realize that, then it doesn't matter whether we've gone down the wrong road. If we know that healing is part of that same covenant, then if we have the faith to believe that our eternal destiny is safe, things that we can't see, if we have that faith to believe that we're going to heaven because of what Jesus did, and we have that so grounded in our hearts, which we do, because we've heard that, then we have to get to the point where we believe that same thing with Jesus, that we believe he took care of healing. And so it does not matter if I've gone down the wrong way. Well, if I'm thinking somehow I shouldn't deserve healing, or I'm not going to get healed because of something I've done, well, then you better look back and say, what ground is my salvation on? Because they're the same ground. Jesus dealt with sin. And so sin is what has separated us from God, but it's the same thing that made death come into the world that caused sickness. So if Jesus has dealt with sin, he's dealt with sickness. If he's dealt with sickness, he's dealt with sin, which he's dealt with salvation. It's part of the same package. And we'll go into that more, and there's a lot more scripture on that point, but I didn't want to just, well, here, sin is the cause of sickness and leave it at that. At least, you know, we wrapped up that, but we'll go over the same more stuff and give a lot more scriptures on how that is true. You know, scriptures in Isaiah, it's all part of the same package. If we know that, if we know what the root is, then we can stand in faith knowing that Jesus is our healer just like he's our Savior. We can have the same confidence. Thank God.